Obviously, the reason they're having these leadership contests is the performance in the general election. What do you now have an analysis? Because presumably one of your jobs will be not only to know what went wrong, but to do something about it. And also to answer the question, if you knew it was wrong, why didn't you say so at the time?
Well, I wasn't on the front bench in the last 5 years, Stig, so I don't know what happened at Shadow Cabinet. I certainly had conversations with Ed about concerns I had about our strategy. But look, I think it's too soon to say with any certainty exactly what happened. But I think one thing we can say is that Labour did very badly. We did badly against the SNP in Scotland. We went backwards against the Conservatives in most of those target seats in England and Wales. And we need a strategy to address UKIP and the Greens, but actually the four out of the five voters we need to win back at the next election are voted Conservative on May the 7th, and there are going to be more seats in the south of England outside London if the boundary changes go through, and I'm the only candidate either on the leadership or deputy leadership ballot who actually won a former safe Conservative seat and have turned it into a safe Labour seat, and we're going to have to do a lot more of that to have any chance at all of winning in 5 years' time. Will get me on the ballot on Wednesday.
Mary Cray, when she left, she was bidding for leadership, and she's withdrawn with a bit of a spiky remark. She said that the leader's office did not understand business and did not understand what business needed from government. Do you think that's a fair accusation against the way that Labour presented itself over the last sort of 5 years?
Well, Mary, who was in the shadow cabinet, of course, will have had a much closer idea and experience of what was actually going on. My observation was very much from the outside. But I do know, talking to business people, and look, let's destroy this idea that all business people are conservatives. They're not. There are plenty of Labour-supporting and Labour-sympathetic business people out there. And I think they were very frustrated, not necessarily about all of our policies, because I think a lot of our policies were spot on, but they were frustrated about the rhetoric and the tone that we adopted that almost made it feel, or made them feel, that their contribution wasn't valuable and they weren't welcome to help us in the debate and help formulate policy. And I think that was a mistake. And I know that business people want to work with Labour to help make us a fairer society and a fairer economy. They run responsible businesses ethically, environmentally and socially, and they want to work with the Labour government to deliver that better society.
Why is David Miliband in the papers still today? And I see that there's a Bring Back David, That's the Aim of a Labour Plot to Parachute in the Other Miliband, screams the Mail on Sunday. Is he not causing you grief that you guys really do not need at the moment?
Well, I think anyone who's saying that and the press who are stirring this up, they're indulging in both an element of wishful thinking, I think, but also mischief-making.
But he's allowing it to happen. Why is David Miliband talking the way he has talked since this has happened? Because he's pushed his name back into the debate, and that cannot be helpful, can it?
Well, I'm not sure whether he has pushed his name back into the debate. Look, he's the brother of the leader who's just lost us election. He's asked for his view. He's still performing a very high-profile role in New York. But the idea that David Miliband is about to re-enter British politics is one that the Tory press may have a lot of fun and games with over the next few weeks and months, but it's not where most Labour MPs or Labour Party members are focusing their attention. They're focusing their attention on how we learn the lessons of what's been a catastrophic defeat for us and how we rebuild quickly enough to deliver a Labour government for the country that so badly needs it in 5 years' time.
And you need 35 nominations to get on the ballot to be deputy leader. Are you going to get them?
I'm confident I can. It's going to be tough. John Healey left the contest at the end of last week, which makes it a little bit easier for the rest of us, but it's still a very crowded field. There are only three more days to go. A lot of people and MPs still not committed, undecided. So I think there's everything to play for, and I'll be working very hard indeed over the next 3 days to try to persuade enough of my colleagues to nominate me.
I suppose people would say you're quite similar to Liz Kendall in terms of your Blairism, that dreaded word. Did you have a favourite sneaky one that you'd like to be the leader?
Well, Stig, journalists and others always like attaching labels to
they
us
do.
Politicians, don't they? I mean, the only labels I've ever attached to myself have been Labour, loyal and winning, and that's the only label that I'm really prepared to accept. But look, you know, Labour has to learn the lessons of our defeat, but as John Prescott always used to say, it's about our traditional values in a modern setting, and we have to adopt our traditional values as a Labour Party to the realities of the modern world.